listening to a recording from Watnall Road Baptist Church.
It's really great to have you here. My name's Simon. I'm the lead minister here. And we're really thrilled to have this special service a week before Christmas. And the theme of this evening is Out of Exile. We're thinking particularly of all the things going on in the world, which are so heartbreaking. But remembering the message of Christmas is that God sent his son to gather strangers and exiles, people like us, people like those who are suffering around the world. Now, the service should kind of flow on without any more introduction, but we're going to stand now and sing our first carol.
Thank you.
come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, great God, we thank you that the light has come. As we look at the darkness around our world, we praise you that your Son has shone that light and continues to shine that light in our lives and around this world. And we pray that you would open our eyes to that light and help us to spread that light this Christmas time. Be with us this evening as we sing, as we listen to readings that tell us about the Christmas story, as we watch dramatizations, as we think about these important themes. We pray our eyes would be on Jesus. Amen.
A reading from Micah. Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are the one of the smallest towns in the nation of Judah, but the Lord will choose one of your people to rule the nation, someone whose family goes back to ancient times. The Lord will abandon Israel only until this ruler is born and the rest of his family returns to Israel. Like a shepherd taking care of his sheep, this ruler will lead and care for his people by the power and glorious name of the Lord his God. His people will live securely, and the whole earth will know his true greatness, because he will bring peace.
Oh, and yet I can't think because it's just too much. I love Mary. I love her so much. I love her so much I'm prepared to let her go quietly, without a fuss. Of course, there are alternatives. I'd be justified in throwing that first stone. Neighbours would understand it. In fact, people would probably encourage me to take that action. I still can't believe she got pregnant. How could she do it to herself? How could she do it to me? How could I ever stand tall amongst my fellow men? And yet, can I really blame Mary now I know what I know? And deep down, I know I'm not perfect. What right do I have to cast that first stone? And ultimately, I love Mary. Is it best to have a quiet settlement? She could go her way, I could go mine. She and I would grieve the loss, but somehow I'm sure we'll get through it and move on. But that dream, that crazy dream, a dream unlike any other. Not confusing and bizarre, but crystal clear and full of authority. I suppose I could pretend I never had it, but it felt so real, so very, very real. And I want it to be true. And as I think about it some more, I think I'm falling more in love with Mary. Beloved Mary. And I can't help but marvel at the faithfulness of Jehovah my God. Maybe it's just what we've been waiting for so long. Hoping against hope. Waiting for a word. Waiting for someone. Waiting for somebody to deliver us from this God-forsaken oppression. Maybe it's the name Jesus. Like a reminder of something too important to forget. And the promise, he will save people from their sins. More than anything, I think I'm hopeful. Hopeful for the first time in a long while. Oh, it's just too much to take in. Too much to ignore. Just too much. What do I know of saving people from sins? I'm a simple carpenter. All I know is wood and nails.
Oh, Jehovah, God, what do I believe? I hope he's the Messiah that we've all been waiting for. No. No, I believe he's the Messiah that we've all been waiting for. For the sake of my beloved Mary and her unborn child, I put my trust wholly in you, Lord God.
Oh, lost the sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home, wagging their tails behind them. As if, in my experience, there's no such thing as a home in sheep. When they go astray, they stay astray, unless we go and find them. That's what we do up here, forgotten by most people. It's cold and dark and cut off. But tonight I don't want to moan. Something has changed. Not so much in my circumstances. I'm still here, in the night, with the sheep, out of sight, out of mind. But yet I don't feel alone anymore. I've been noticed. For last night the darkness ripped open and the sky, this sky, was full of light. I think God wanted to grab our attention. Well, we're certainly grabbed. In fact, we were terrified. It was awesome and bright and different and strange. It was glorious. I guess God's like that. It unsettled us good and proper. Don't be afraid. That's what they said. God's always saying that. Don't be afraid. I guess it bears repeating, seeing as though most of us feel scared a lot of the time. That's why I never get frustrated with the sheep, because in some ways, I'm a lot like them. I need a helping hand, someone to watch over me. Don't be afraid, but come and see what has happened. And so we went. Well, who wouldn't? And what we found was very ordinary, but yet very wonderful. A baby, just as we had been told. A baby with grateful parents, tired and smiling. To us, the joy is that we had something to add, something which lent the ordinary moment extraordinary potential. This baby is not just any baby, we said. Let us tell you what we have been told. And so we did. Now we're back here, where we were before, watching. Most people don't think of us. Most people ignore us or take us for granted. But God has noticed us, and he has let us in on his greatest surprise. We are loved, it seems, and that makes all the difference.
Thank you. There's a lot of wonder when you become a mother. A new life with all its potential, an array of possibilities. A new life and a new love that overwhelms you with joy, so much joy. And concern, a lot of concern. All of a sudden the world becomes full of what ifs. What if he doesn't eat? What if he doesn't sleep? What if he's ill? What if I cannot cope? I've seen it all, but it is all so wonderful. I have seen it with my own eyes, seen mothers with their children. It's all remarkable, but also commonplace. And I feel all these things. But I think it's fair to say that my darling boy comes with more what ifs than most. What if he's the one that's been promised? What if people don't understand? What if people demand of him? And what if they don't get what they want? What if? What if it all goes horribly wrong? And what if I am there to watch? And what if there is absolutely nothing I can do to help? What if he's the one that's been promised? What if he is the one to take away our sins? What if all our hopes and all our fears come down to this, come down to him? That's enough worry for one day. But I just can't help myself when I look at him. I just can't help it. I just can't help but wonder. What if?
God, you hear the calls, the cries, the voices raised, the silent whispered prayers. Israel in her exile crying out for a Messiah, Elizabeth in her barrenness calling out for a son, shepherds in their poverty praying for a Saviour, Mary in her innocence searching for a safe place to give birth, and still today, the voices cry out in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, in China, in Africa, for regions everywhere that are suffering, and here in the UK. The homeless and their vulnerability asking for a welcome. The rich in their emptiness longing for acceptance. The lonely in their busyness, crying for community, the families in their arguments, praying for peace. God, you hear the calls, the cries, the voices raised, the silent whispered prayers. Hear our prayers today and help us where we can to be the answer to someone else's prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Yeah. beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Good evening. Oh, hang on, I need to go back. Oh dear, I've given away my clue now. Now, you'll know the answer to this. Oh, can we have that first slide back again? A few ticks there. What do you think was the best film of 2016, ignoring what you've just seen? What was your favourite film? The Revenant? Yeah, that's a good one. Well, I know this is cheating a bit, because actually, strictly speaking, it was actually released at the end of last year, but I didn't see it until January, so I'm going to go for Star Wars The Force Awakens. That's been the best film of the decade so far, yeah? Really, anyone seen the new one yet? No? I'm going to go and see it this week, and I'm really excited. I can go with my son and my grandson. Three generations of us watching Star Wars. That'll be really great. You know, when I went to see Star Wars The Force Awakens, everyone had seen it, Hazel said, oh, I'm not really into that, it's a waste of money. So I went on my own, and when you go into the pictures on your own, they feel so sorry for you, don't they? It's like, say, one for Star Wars, and you could almost read her mind thinking, oh, poor little man, he's all on his own, really no mates. But still, it was really good. Now, if you know, this is a bit of a spoiler if you haven't seen the film yet, but the film ends with this character, who is Luke Skywalker. I was waiting right through the film. I thought he'd be there at the beginning, and we don't see him until the end. And he's been in exile for 30 years. 30 years on his own, feeling guilty, feeling bad, feeling lonely. And our theme this evening has been out of exile. And actually, that idea of exile is quite a powerful image in the Bible. It's all about people being far away from home, far away from all they know and from their loved ones. And the message is that God reaches out to people like that. In fact, when you read the Christmas story, you can see the people were so much on the fringes. Who did the angel come to say that Jesus was going to be born and to tell them to come to the stable? Shepherds. Shepherds were the dregs of society. If you didn't know what to do with your life, well, you'd be a shepherd. There was nothing else that you could do. The Christmas story is all about God reaching out to people on the fringes. As we look at the things going on in our world, it really gives us heart and encouragement and hope. So how does God reach out to exiles? How does he reach out to people like you and people like me? Well, the Christmas story tells us that it all started with an arrival. I picked that picture very carefully. The little baby there in that picture was actually born on a boat on the way to Italy, a boat full of refugees. So that child was born in absolute desolation, absolute upheaval,
And that's the Christmas story. We all have our nice little nativity scenes and the baby Jesus wrapped in cotton wool. But the first Christmas was nothing like that. It was a time of incredible upheaval and difficulty for everyone involved. And in the reading that Trevor brought to us a moment ago, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Now, when John writes that, he's using a Greek word, and he's writing particularly to Greek people to tell them about Jesus. And the word there is the logos, and the Greeks knew that as the reason. You know, we have an ology, you know, we have a sociology and a biology and a thisology. Remember that advert where the lady said, "Oh, you've got an ology. Everyone has an ology." Well, ology means the reason. And what he's saying there was, in the beginning was the reason. The reason everything existed. In the beginning was God. And that's Jesus, God's Son. But he also goes on to tell us that the Word, Jesus, who is God, who's always existed, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God's Son became a real human being in the form of a tiny baby on that first Christmas. Now, I used social media to have a bit of a straw poll. I wasn't being lazy, and those of you who saw it, I just wanted to see what people's ideas were. I didn't realise get about 100 replies that I haven't had a chance to look through. But the earlier ones that came through, I asked people this. I asked, what's the point of Christmas? And some people in this church actually said things like Brussels sprouts. I'd like to have a few words with them, an excuse to eat Brussels sprouts and that kind of thing. But there were some really interesting ones. Someone said, God with skin on. That's brilliant. That's how Jesus came into this world. God with skin on. He was the Son of God and never stopped being that. But he became a real human being. And someone else said, God taking up our address. And that means that God's Son entered right into our suffering, right into our turmoil. He chose to be born to a couple of Middle Eastern migrants. And you know the Christmas story, you know that the world was in upheaval. Just because the whim of the man who ruled it, Caesar Augustus, he wanted to know how many people were in his empire. And he said, despite your circumstances, I don't care what's going on in your life, but you go back to the town of your birth to register. Everyone was traveling. Everyone was migrating. Mary was heavily pregnant with Jesus. She was caught up in this. There was nowhere for them to go but a barn, a time of incredible upheaval. There was a notice on a tube station. It was actually a quote from a man called G.K. Chesterton in Tooting in London. And it said this. It said, Christmas is built upon a beautiful and intentional paradox that the birth of the homeless should be celebrated in every home. God became man. He arrived here right in the thick of our sufferings. It was an arrival, but also an encounter. John's gospel that was read to us just a few moments ago says, the true light that gives light to everyone came into the world. The world was in darkness. The world was in turmoil. Jesus brought life. Jesus brought hope. When people encountered Jesus, they encountered God. Even when he was a baby, the shepherds gathered round him and they marveled that God was there. And the angels rejoiced, and sometimes later, kings from another place came to see him and pay homage to him. This baby, this child. But when Jesus grew up, he tore the religious rule book right in two. In a religion in those days was you had to do things properly. You had to be good and righteous and do your best to have a relationship with God. You had to live a good life. And Jesus hung out with the people who were the complete opposite. He hung out with people who ran pubs, and they were looked down on in those days. He hung around with tax collectors. I used to be a tax collector, and people used to avoid me. It's amazing, you know, when I'm at a party, it's a conversation stopper. People say, what do you do? And I say, I'm a minister. And they say, oh, I was at the time, must be going. Anyway, nice to meet you. But it was always the same. I used to say, I'm a tax collector. I prosecute people for not paying their VAT. And they, oh, very interesting. Anyway, must be going. Goodbye. Always looked down, but they were looked down on terribly in those days. Jesus hung out with people like that, with prostitutes who were rejected, with women who were on the fringes of society. and he healed people, and he spread this incredible message that God was breaking into their lives, that it was a new kingdom. God was going to rule them. There was a future and a hope. But that brought him into conflict with the religious establishment of that day. In fact, the leaders hated him and they plotted against him, and eventually they murdered him. But he rose from the dead, and he's still turning lives upside down. I don't know if anyone saw the one show a few nights ago where there was a special needs teacher who donated one of his kidneys to a pupil. Anyone see that? Yeah? Well, that guy, I'll tell you about that guy. His name's Ray Coe, and we were at school in the marvellous place called Southend. Did you see his accent? Southend. Now, Ray Coe, he was quite a short guy, but he was a spitfire. If there was ever trouble, Ray would be in the thick of it. And one of the things he used to do all the time was argue with teachers. It was amazing. He just used to burst into a teacher's room, and it was quite a tough school. I mean, they say it was so tough, the craze got thrown out because they were too soft for it. It's a really tough school. And he used to come and say, "Who do you think you are?" and argue with all the teachers. And he was always picking arguments and getting into fights and things. And I met him some years later. And I said, "Well, Ray Coe, isn't it?" I said, yeah. I said, "You're the guy who used to argue with all the teachers." Yeah, but things are different now, he said. "I've met Jesus." Now, Ray Coe, it didn't come out on there. Ray Coe was a Christian. And Jesus turned his life upside down. I never would have thought that guy who was always picking arguments would have given one of his kidneys to help one of his pupils. I never would imagine he was a teacher. I think actually that's one of God's jokes, that he's made him a teacher. No. I remember saying to him, I said, "Ray, I hope you never have pupils who are like you." And he said, "Yeah, I hope that as well." But Jesus turns lives upside down. That's why he came into this world, to reach out to the exiles, to the people on the fringes, to people like me and people like you. And that takes us to another way that God embraces us through the Christmas story, a reunion. Jesus came to reunite us with God. So that whole theme of darkness there, it's just another way of saying we're a long way from God. We're not in God's light. We're not near him. We don't know him. And John says that Jesus came, God came among us, full of grace and truth. And that's an amazing statement. I mean, people just saw that right at the beginning in the stable. There was something different about this child, something different about this amazing scene of these people gathering round to pay homage to a baby in a barn. Because God's grace and truth were there. Now, that word grace means that God gives favour that we don't deserve. Now, if you park out here in the wee, one thing I should tell you is it's 20 minutes or so only outside. Don't make that mistake. We got a fight in the car park as well. They say you get the first hour free, but what they don't tell you is you have to pay for the second hour before you get the first hour. So we got a £25 fine for that. I don't know, it confused me. Good way of getting money, isn't it? But imagine you're parked outside there and you go way beyond your 20 minutes. You're out there for 2 hours and you come to your car and you meet one of the parking attendants and they greet you with a smile and they say, "Happy Christmas." And you say, oh, that's a nice way of giving me a ticket. But they don't give you a ticket, they give you a present. And you say, "Why have you given me this?" And they'd say, "I don't know, just you don't deserve it. But I just wanted to show you favour." That's what that word grace means. Favour that we don't deserve. And that's why Jesus hung around with people who were at the dregs of society. They realised they had nothing to give and everything to receive from him. And Jesus came with truth. He showed the way to God. The first Christmas wasn't about starting a new religion. It was about establishing a new relationship with God. In fact, John goes on to say, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. See, when we know Jesus, when we turn to him, something incredible happens. He gives us new life. That's why Ray Coe is so different from the boy I was at school with. That's why my life was turned upside down. That's why so many people here have changed lives. You look on our website and see their stories, because they've been given new birth. They're God's children now. So God reaches out to us through an arrival. Have I just switched my mic off or something? Through an encounter. I'll just say, Keeps me active, doesn't it? Through an arrival, through an encounter, through a reunion, and then through an expectation. You know, it's the time of year when all the shops are playing Christmas songs. I can't wait till Boxing Day when they'll be playing different things. Who's spotted, so here it is, Merry Christmas first? When was it, October the 1st or something? But I remember when that first came out. But there's a line in that song that says, look to the future, it's only just begun. And actually, I didn't think I'd ever say this about Noddy Holder, but that's pretty profound. Because Christmas is actually about the future. When the angel came to Mary, he said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and his kingdom will never end. There's something still to happen. Jesus was born that first Christmas. He lived that amazing life and turned people's lives upside down. He rose from the dead. He's still turning lives upside down. And he's going to return and establish that kingdom of justice and that kingdom of love. And we live in anticipation of that now. That's why as a church we care so much about people in those refugee camps, people in need. That's why so many Christians go out there to work with them and to do something about the situation, because we know there's a better future and we live in the light of it. Now, if I can return to my Star Wars theme, do you remember the episode 3? And it was a bit of a downbeat ending. Anakin turned to the dark side, and Padme, is that how you say her name? Padme, she was dead. Pretty downbeat ending. But there was one ray of light there, because she had twins. And who were the twins' names? Leia and Luke. Leia and Luke. And of course, if you're a Star Wars buff like I am, you'll know that Leia and Luke actually were brother and sister who got together and they defeated the Empire. They brought that new light and that new hope. Two babies. That was significant. We know the full reality. And you know, when we look at the Christmas story, we look at a baby in a manger, but we see so much more. We see a future and a hope. Jesus has come. God's kingdom is here. The future is ahead of us. And Jesus invites you to become part of his kingdom this evening.
We're now going to have some prayers, and there's a response to the prayers, which hopefully will appear on the projector. Yes, so at the end of each section, when I say, Lord Jesus, you came to be light in a dark world, the response is, help us to bring your light into the world today. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, you were born in a stable because your parents were homeless and had nowhere else to go that night. We pray for all those who are homeless today, both in this country and overseas, in countries like Syria and Yemen. We thank you for the aid agencies abroad working in very difficult situations. And we thank you for organisations like Framework in Nottingham, who help homeless and vulnerable people here. Help us to do what we can to help too. Lord Jesus, you came to be light in a dark world. Help us to bring your light into the world today. Lord God, we have heard how the angels came to tell the good news to the shepherds, people who were outcasts, poor and uneducated, yet you chose them to hear this amazing news first. Thank you that Jesus came for everyone, but especially for the poor and the outcast. Lord Jesus, you came to be light in a dark world. Help us to bring your light into the world today. The angels brought a message of peace, peace on earth. So many people need to hear this message of peace today. We pray for those countries that are being torn apart by war. We pray particularly for Syria and the city of Aleppo. We pray for the Christians in Egypt affected by the recent bombing in Cairo. We have no idea how we can help, but we can pray. And we also pray for peace in our homes and for families known to us who need reconciliation. Lord Jesus, you came to be light in a dark world. Help us to bring your light into the world today. And as Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt, we know that you, Lord Jesus, know what it is like to be a refugee. We pray for refugees today. Help us to welcome any who come to Hucknall so that they know that they are loved by us and loved by you. Lord Jesus, you came to be light in a dark world. Help us to bring your light into the world today. Amen.
Well, it's been really great to have you here today. And if you're new and you're new to the Christian faith and wondering what this is about, we'd love to invite you to our Alpha sessions. And Alpha is a great opportunity to explore the Christian faith in an informal environment, to ask any questions that you have and to talk things through. And we're going to show a little video that tells us a bit more about it.
What does it take to live a life of adventure? The truth is, the first step is always the hardest. That's the one that takes the most courage. But I've learned not to run from that fear and just do it. My Christian faith can be a little up and down, like any relationship. It has struggles and it has doubts. But it's so often brought light to a dark path, warmth to a cold mountain, and strength to a failing body. I remember crawling onto the summit of Everest and clearing the snow from my mask to see the curvature of the earth at the edges. But finding a simple faith that empowers my life, to me, that's been my greatest adventure. Questions about life? Try Alpha.
Do come and see me or anyone else you know from the church. The welcome team will be able to tell you more about that. And also we have on our website, you'll find a special email address devoted to the Alpha, so you can contact us through that. We start in February, I think it's February the 21st, but that's off the top of my head. Never ask me where I am and what I'm doing. Just ask Hazel or Helen from the office, she'll tell you where I am. Now do stay back for tea and coffee and mince pies. We'd love to chat with you some more and with any questions you've got. We're going to close now with a really great Christmas song, Joy to the World, The Lord Has Come.